Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear how a special enrolment period for people needing health insurance has opened up in the light of the COVID-19 crisis. Then, while a statewide stay-at-home order goes into effect this morning, seniors and people particularly vulnerable to COVID-19 have been self-isolating for quite a while. Now, seniors are part of this group that have been self-isolating, but they're also at risk of social isolation. This is outside of the current public health crisis. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with one local senior on how her life has been in social isolation and how she is harnessing technology to keep in touch. After that, despite everything going on, the census is still happening, albeit there is now an extension for the time it takes to submit your answers. This year, people can complete the census online, and we'll hear why local advocates are still pushing people to get their information in. After headlines from the BBC, Tish Buford speaks with two COVID-19 Colorado heroes working in the medical professional. Then in the medical profession. And then at 9 o'clock, it is the latest installment of our Radio Book Club. And today we'll hear from local young adult author Julia Del Rosario about her latest novel, which is a novel in verse. It's called Turtle Under Ice. At 9:30, we'll begin another morning of music on the Morning Sound Alternative. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Governor Jared Polis late yesterday issued a stay-at-home order for the entire state that went into effect this morning at 6 a.m. Governor Polis said that the order comes because, despite previous orders on social isolation, people around Colorado were not taking enough measures to limit the spread of the virus.
Look, we requested that Coloradans follow this step and we cut down workplace density. And while isolation, social isolation has increased and distancing has increased, it's not yet reached the number that we need to save lives and contain the spread of the virus, which is why we are resorting to this measure, this extreme measure, at this time to make sure that people know that they need to stay in their homes whenever possible. Many county health departments are acting in different ways, proactively, to contain the crisis. As county health departments act, it creates a regional and a statewide issue where more and more people are going to fewer and fewer stores and retailers and work in fewer and fewer locations, creating a greater public health crisis. We saw a similar issue in our mountain communities where after Alterra and Vail Resorts announced their decision to close, we couldn't have a situation where more and more people were going to fewer and fewer smaller resorts to recreate without creating a public health crisis. Finally, we need time. We need time to build the hospital capacity, acquire the ventilators that we need to save lives. We also are acting to minimize the disruption to jobs and the economy. By acting boldly now, we can limit the duration of this economic crisis. Rather than have to suffer through additional restrictions on workplace and free commerce for a long period of time, we can effectively contain this virus by engaging in these measures now and returning to normal sooner rather than later. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, we're issuing this stay-at-home order to save lives. To save lives. Could be your aunt or your uncle, could be your parent, could be your grandparent, could be your own life that is saved by these strong actions that we are taking now. And by the way, when we're talking about saving lives, we're not talking about one or two lives. We're talking about thousands of Coloradans' lives, perhaps tens of thousands of Coloradan lives that will be saved by these actions that we are taking today.
Governor Jared Polis speaking at a press conference last night. The stay-at-home order means that people must stay at their place of residence and only leave for essential activities like grocery shopping or getting medical supplies. People can go outside to recreate, but only if more than a 6-foot distance can be kept between you and others. All non-essential businesses are closed. Restaurants remain open for takeout or delivery. We have a link to the full statewide order, as well as more information about what it means, online at kgnu.org. So far, 19 people have died in the state from COVID-19. This includes a man from Lafayette in Boulder County. The number of hospitalizations doubled from Tuesday into Wednesday, and it's now 148. There are now 1,086 diagnosed cases of COVID-19 in the state, but public health officials say that it's likely that thousands more remain undiagnosed. In the weather today, expect warm temperatures but breezy conditions. Because of the dry conditions and the gusty winds, there is a red flag warning in effect for south of I-70 and east of I-25 in effect through the day. But temperatures will cool off overnight with a chance of rain coming in overnight and a chance of a rain snow mix on Friday. Temperatures dropping tomorrow and forecast right now to be in the mid-40s. It is 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. In response to the current COVID-19 crisis, just last week, the Division of Insurance in Colorado and Connect for Health Colorado announced an emergency measure going into effect, establishing a special enrollment period for Coloradoans who currently do not have health insurance. This special enrollment period has begun and it runs until April 3rd. I spoke with Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative about what it means.
It's a really important step because we still have, going into this, we had about 6.5% of the population that was still uninsured. And so it gives those individuals an opportunity to get health coverage before they may really have to seek care in the current pandemic. So it's an important step. I will say that for those individuals who may not enroll by the April 3rd deadline of this sort of short window that is open to anybody, if somebody loses coverage, they will still be eligible for a special enrollment period and be able to find coverage either through Connect for Health Colorado or potentially qualify for Medicaid coverage.
I think that's an important point to make because so many people's employment status is really in flux, if not in outright jeopardy, as a result of the economic impact of this. So it is a good reminder that if people's circumstances change and you lose health insurance coverage because of a change of job or because of a job loss, you can still enroll outside of the regular enrollment period. Do you want to just clarify what the enrollment periods typically are and what opportunities there are for people?
Right. So usually there's one open enrollment period every year, and that's usually November through mid-January. So we're well past that at this point. And so the sort of open enrollment period that was opened as of Friday last week and running through April 3rd, that's really sort of an extra opportunity for anyone who is uninsured, no matter what reason, to gain coverage. But after that April 3rd deadline, if somebody was uninsured beforehand and didn't enroll, they may have a hard time enrolling because they won't necessarily qualify for a special enrollment period as somebody who loses employment would.
So just to remind people do have an opportunity now during this special enrollment period that has already begun, but it does run through April 3rd and coverage will be effective starting on April 1st. How do people go about enrolling and getting coverage?
So the best place to start is Connect for Health Colorado. That's connectforhealthco.com. That is the insurance marketplace that Colorado has created. And that's also where people can see if they qualify for tax credits that may lower their premiums or even their deductibles and copays. So that's the best place to start. And it's usually the easiest for an individual to try to navigate.
You know, so much of the coverage of what's happening right now with COVID-19, there are two narratives emerging. One is it's a major health crisis. And the second is really it's a major economic crisis. But an economic crisis has always been a reality for anybody who has a health crisis, particularly if they don't have insurance. And so, you know, these two narratives are really being discussed in that context right now. But I mean, that's been the reality. I mean, just talk about that, that the reality for so many people who don't have health insurance, if they have even just one major medical emergency, how that has been a reality for so many people, that it's been an economic catastrophe.
Yeah, exactly. Healthcare is very expensive. And so if somebody didn't have insurance coverage, and in some cases, even if they did have coverage, depending on how robust that coverage was, somebody who has a health crisis for whatever reason, whether it's COVID-19 or something else, can find themselves in really dire financial straits and facing really large medical bills. And so that's why it's even more important right now for everybody to have coverage as much as possible, because I think we don't know what all of the ramifications of this are going to be yet, but we are hearing estimates that COVID-19 treatment will be well above $20,000 if somebody needs to be hospitalized in costs. And if you don't have health insurance, you're on the hook for that.
Do you think what's happening right now might change the conversation either at a federal level or at least even at a state level around the need to have health insurance available to everybody?
I would certainly hope so. I think the unfortunate reality is, even while the structures that we have put in place, largely through the Affordable Care Act, that make sure that people have coverage options when they lose their job, that is all under threat, because there is a Supreme Court case that will be challenging the Affordable Care Act this fall when the Supreme Court hears oral arguments. And that really threatens to strip all of the infrastructure and protections that we have in place.
That's Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative. The special enrollment period is in effect right now and it runs through April 3rd. Coverage will be effective starting April 1st. And you can find out more at connectforhealthco.com. It is 8:16. You're listening to KGNU. Well, a recent survey by the Boulder County Area Agency on Aging showed that 31% of older adults reported feeling lonely or isolated. And many health researchers say that isolation is one of the main causes of health problems and premature death amongst seniors. Well, now with the current COVID-19 pandemic, we're telling seniors that they must remain isolated for their own health. As a result, many seniors are working through methods to keep in touch with family, friends and loved ones that maybe they have not done before. KGNU's Rosanna Longo caught up with one local senior to see how she is coping with self-isolation.
I am Barbara Steinmetz. I'm 83 years old. I am sitting in my kitchen area by my kitchen table, and looking out the window, and it's a beautiful day in Colorado, and I'm enjoying sitting out here and just not being in a rush to go anywhere and enjoying the view and just relaxing. The guidelines are that older people, such as myself, stay inside, and now this is probably more than a week that I have been inside and that I have not had anyone come to my house. I have not, my grandchildren will not come into my house and they won't really come near me. And my daughter, who comes over and checks on me every day, does not come into my house. And because obviously they feel that I'm vulnerable and I don't need to have that kind of a physical connection with them as long as they're checking in on me.
Barbara, so you are experiencing this isolation, social distancing, but at the same time you're sharing with me that your daughter is in contact with you. How is she helping you through these times?
First of all, my daughter is in contact with me and asks me if I need anything. And I spent time communicating with people in my neighborhood who all seem to be very, very alert about looking out for one another and making sure that you're okay. So one of the things, I have a friend of mine who owns a restaurant and another friend of mine who is a chef who is out of work now, and they're trying to create a little business and keep their employees going. And so so he called me and said, you know, would I want to have a meal delivered? Would I want to buy a meal so that he can keep some of his employees working? I then contacted all of my neighbors and said, how would you like to have a meal from this restaurant? And they'll deliver it to us for X number of dollars. You can look up online, look at their menu, and order whatever you like. And that happened last Wednesday. Several of us ordered meals. And from the chef that is now working, he said he would make quiches at his house and he would deliver them to us. So four of my neighbors ordered quiches from him, but we were in touch with one another so that we knew what we needed and how to share that information, which was really, it keeps us from being isolated.
Barbara, you were also sharing the way that you are communicating now with your grandchildren. Please explain to us what you are doing in order to keep the connection with them.
So the connection to, this is an amazing time to connect with children and grandchildren. So my grown-up grandchildren who live away from here, generally I speak to them for a few minutes and they're just always in a rush. They're in a rush to go here. They don't have time to talk very much. They just kind of check in because it's the right thing to do. But now they're home also. So on Saturday, rather than my granddaughter rushing me off because she was trying to get so much done in a weekend, we both sat in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, and we chatted about things that we normally never chat about. And this can happen to other people, too, that you chat about your childhood, members of your family. My granddaughter was asking me, you know, where our family name came from. Did anybody change our family name? How about, was it the paternal name or the maternal name? She was also asking me about members of the family whose names just kind of passed her by, but she kind of remembered them. So she wanted to know, so who is that member of the family? And how again is it that we're related? And it gave us an opportunity to talk about things that we generally never talk about. And it is a wonderful way to connect. If you have young grandchildren, there's another wonderful way to connect. First of all, if you have any children's books around, you can FaceTime and read children's books to them. They can sit at home on FaceTime and they see you and you can read to them. Or if they're a little older, you can have them read to you. It's just such a great time to find ways to connect. I used to connect to my grandchildren when they were little by telling them stories. And it doesn't matter if the stories are real stories or whether you are just making them up. Little kids are fascinated. I used to be astounded. I'm not such a good storyteller, but my grandkids loved the stories that I used to tell. I don't know. It was about a little mouse that was in the house, and a little puppets that came to life and were wandering around the house. They were just silly things, but the grandkids loved it. So it's a wonderful way to make a connection because nobody's in a hurry.
Barbara, I would like also for you to share with us what else have you done in order to keep yourself with good spirits?
So So there are a couple of things. First of all, we are so lucky that we're living in an electronic age when we can connect. So one of the ways that people can connect is by something called Zoom, and there may be other kinds of apps also, and maybe your families or your grandchildren can fix it for you. But for instance, a friend of mine has her family is together once a week now at a certain time on something called Zoom, and all the members of their family in New York, in the state of Washington, in Washington, D.C., where the kids go to college in Colorado, on a particular time of day, they all get on the same app, and they all see each other, and they can all listen to one another's stories and talk with one another. And it's what a crazy, wonderful thing to be able to do. So I personally have not done Zoom, but I know that it is used everywhere to have friends connect. They reserve like an hour or an hour and a half worth of time, and they can gather together. So that's one of the things that people can do not to feel so isolated. The second thing is to look around your house and see what it is that you've been wanting to do and never had an opportunity to do, never had a chance to sit down and do, whether it's cleaning out your files, whether it's sitting down and bringing a box of photographs and putting them on your kitchen table and leaving them on your table. Just go through them for 15 minutes, for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, because you don't have to clean it up. Nobody's coming to your house.
What else are you doing to connect to the outside world and get connected with art, music?
There are a lot of wonderful things, and some of them, I'm sure people get them on email. Some of them you just find on the internet. For instance, it seems like there's a site where you can take a tour of museums around the world. Museums in Denver, in Washington, D.C., in Paris, the Louvre. I have not done this myself, but a friend of mine told me it's amazing. You can take a tour of the museum, of some museum around the world, some famous museum. One of the things that I have found is that the Metropolitan Opera, every single night, streams a complete opera. It is astounding that you can do that. It's free, and you can stream it, and you can just find it on the computer and click on it, and for 3 hours, you can sit and watch an opera on your computer. Now, is that amazing or what? And then, of course, there's always PBS, public television, that has, you know, these wonderful programs about nature. I understand that there's now people are giving master classes in music, in art history, just history, and that you can pick all this up online. Mm.
That's Barbara Steinmetz, one local senior, speaking with KGNU's Rosanna Longo about what life is like in isolation. Health officials have identified isolation as a major health crisis, a major health impact for seniors. However, right now, to protect their health from COVID-19, seniors around the country are being put and told to stay in isolation. You can find our podcasts if you're looking for some things to do in isolation. Our Trends podcast, just one of the KGNU offerings. Our recent one featured Barbara when we spoke about isolation amongst seniors. Another podcast that we offer is our Radio Book Club. And you can hear the latest edition of that with local author Julia Del Rosario. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. It is 8:28. You're listening to KGNU. Well, due to the current coronavirus pandemic, the US Census Bureau has pushed the 2020 census deadline to mid-August. It was originally supposed to be finished by the end of July. Now, April 1st is in fact Census Day. And starting earlier this month, people around Colorado will have begun receiving notifications about how to complete the census online. Now, local officials are still encouraging people to participate in the census, and it's easier in these pandemic times more than ever because people can respond online. I spoke with Natrice Bryant, who is the State Complete Committee Chair for Colorado.
People have the opportunity to self-respond in 13 different languages through the month of April. We understand that there's some concern about door-to-door collection or enumeration, which wouldn't start until May, and our census takers are still able to do that from the Bureau, but we're actually encouraging self-response mostly so that people aren't going door-to-door. We know that people are able to respond online or via phone, and they can do that from the comfort of their own home, so we're not encouraging them to go out to major events, but just simply respond from the comfort of your own home. Your mailboxes will start receiving the invitations starting today. Those invitations went out from the Census Bureau, and our goal is to count everyone once and only once in the right place. This is the perfect opportunity for people to self-respond via online or telephone.
Specifically, what is the connection between resilience and the climate and the census? And particularly now when we're looking at what's happening with the coronavirus, there is a lot of discussion about how we need to have more resiliency built into communities when we are dealing with an issue, whether it is a natural disaster, a wildfire, a flood, or something like the coronavirus, that we need to have resilience. What's the connection between that and the census?
So that's a good question. So there's a couple of different connections when it comes to how we're funded. And so with the programs that I was talking about, some of the things that we're looking at water and waste disposal systems for our rural Colorado communities, that it's imperative that money goes into those systems because we need to make sure that we have clean water. That's a climate issue. It's also important that we're able to do testing. For example, we have COVID-19 right now. And we want to make sure that we're able to provide as much medical care to some of our families that are either lower income or more at risk, more of a vulnerable population, older adults. Those are all communities that are considered at risk. And if we don't have an appropriate and full and accurate count of who is in Colorado, we don't get the representation, but we also are missing the major funding pots that we need to have in order to make sure that we're able to fund things as it relates to like energy assistance for low-income housing, rural electrification loans. Those are the types of things that relate directly to how our climate and our energy portions of the state function. And when you have disease that hits the state, we also have to have fast response to some of those things as well. And that's one way on how we can make sure that that actually does happen.
Natrice Bryant is the chair of the Complete Count Committee for Colorado. And for the first time, people can complete the census online. The dates have changed because of what's happening right now with COVID-19. And full information is online at 2020census.gov. That's 2020census.gov. We also did a trends podcast looking at the census and looking at why so many local organizations are asking people to participate in the census. You can find that podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for KGNU, and we have a whole selection of podcasts available for you.